The thing was not admitted to monthly notices. I think myself that if the editor had attempted to let it in earthquake or a mysterious fire in his publishing house. The dominants are jealous gods. In nature, presumably a vassal of the new god, though of course also plausibly rendering homage to the old, is reported a cornet-like body, of October 27, 1890, observed at Grahamstown, by Eddy. It may have looked comet-like, but it moved 100 degrees while visible, or 100 degrees in 3/4 of an hour. See Nature, 43-89, 90. In Nature, 44-519, Professor Copeland describes a similar appearance that he had seen, September 10, 1891. Dreer says, Nature, 44-541, that he had seen this object at the Armagh Observatory. He likens it to the object that was reported by Eddy. It was seen by Dr. Alexander Graham Bell, September 11, 1891, in Nova Scotia. But the old dominant was a jealous god. So there were different observations upon something that was seen in November, 1883. These observations were Philistines in 1883. In the Amer. Met. Jour, 1-110, a correspondent reports having seen an object like a comet, with two tails, one up and one down, November 10 or 12, 1883. Very likely this phenomenon should be placed in our expression upon torpedo-shaped bodies that have been seen in the sky are data upon dirigibles, or super zeppelins, but our attempted classifications are far from rigorous or are mere gropes. In the Scientific American, 50-40, a correspondent writes from Humacao, Puerto Rico, that, November 21, 1883, he and several other persons or persons, as it were, had seen a majestic appearance, like a comet. Visible 3 successive nights, disappeared then. The editor says that he can offer no explanation. If accepted, this thing must have been close to the earth. If it had been a comet, it would have been seen widely, and the news would have been telegraphed over the world, says the editor. Upon page 97 of this volume of the Scientific American, a correspondent writes that, at Sulphur Springs, Ohio, he had seen a wonder in the sky, at about the same date. It was torpedo-shaped, or something with a nucleus, at each end of which was a tail. Again the editor says that he can offer no explanation, that the object was not a comet. He associates it with the atmospheric effects general in 1883. But it will be our expression that, in England and Holland, a similar object was seen in November, 1882. In the Scientific American, 40-294, is published a letter from Henry Harrison, of Jersey City, copied from the New York Tribune, that upon the evening of April 13, 1879, Mr. Harrison was searching for Brorson's comet, when he saw an object that was moving so rapidly that it could not have been a comet. He called a friend to look, and his observation was confirmed. At 2 o'clock in the morning this object was still visible. In the Scientific American Supplement, 7-2885, Mr. Harrison disclaims sensationalism, which he seems to think unworthy, and gives technical details. He says that the object was seen by Mr. J. Spencer DeVoe, of Manhattanville. 25. A formation having the shape of a dirigible. It was reported from Huntington, West Virginia, Sci. America, 115-241. Luminous object that was seen July 19, 1916, at about 11 p.m. Observed through rather powerful field glasses, it looked to be about 2 degrees long and half a degree wide. It gradually dimmed, disappeared, reappeared, and then faded out of sight. Another person, as we say, it would be too inconvenient to hold to our intermediatist recognitions. Another person who observed this phenomenon suggested to the writer of the account that the object was a dirigible, but the writer says that faint stars could be seen behind it. This would seem really to oppose our notion of a dirigible visitor to this earth, except for the inconclusiveness of all things in a mode of seeming that is not final, or we suggest that behind some parts of the object, thing, construction, faint stars were seen. We find a slight discussion here. Professor H. M. Russell thinks that the phenomenon was a detached cloud of aurora borealis. Upon page 369 of this volume of the Scientific American, another correlator suggests that it was a light from a blast furnace, disregarding that, if there be blast furnaces in or near Huntington, their reflections would be commonplaces there. We now have several observations upon cylindrical-shaped bodies that have appeared in this Earth's atmosphere, cylindrical, but pointed at both ends, or torpedo-shaped. Some of the accounts are not very detailed, but out of the bits of description, my own acceptance is that supergeographical routes are traversed by torpedo-shaped superconstructions that have occasionally visited, or that have occasionally been driven into this Earth's atmosphere. From data, the acceptance is that upon entering this Earth's atmosphere, these vessels have been so racked that had they not sailed away, disintegration would have occurred, that, before leaving this Earth, they have, whether in attempted communication or not, or in mere wantonness or not, dropped objects, which did almost immediately violently disintegrate or explode. Upon general principles, we think that explosives have not been purposely dropped, but that parts have been racked off, and have fallen, exploding like the things called ball lightning. May have been objects of stone or metal with inscriptions upon them, for all we know, at present. In all instances, estimates of dimensions are valueless, but ratios of dimensions are more acceptable. A thing said to have been 6 feet long may have been 600 feet long, but shape is not so subject to the illusions of distance. Nature, 40-415. That, August 5, 1889, during a violent storm, an object that looked to be about 15 inches long and 5 inches wide, fell, rather slowly, at East Twickenham, England. It exploded. No substance from it was found. Elani Scientific, 1864-54. That, October 10, 1864, M. Leverrier had sent to the Academy 3 letters from witnesses of a long luminous body, tapering at both ends, that had been seen in the sky. In Thunder and Lightning, p. 87, Flammarion says that on August 20, 1880, during a rather violent storm, M. Atricule, of the French Academy, saw a very brilliant yellowish-white body, apparently 35 to 40 centimeters long, and about 25 centimeters wide. Torpedo-shaped. Or a cylindrical body, with slightly conical ends. It dropped something, and disappeared in the clouds. Whatever it may have been that was dropped, it fell vertically, like a heavy object, and left a luminous train. The scene of this occurrence may have been far from the observer. No sound was heard. For M. Tricule's account, see Comte's Rendus, 103-849. Monthly Weather Review, 1907-310. That, July 2, 1907, in the town of Burlington, Vermont, a terrific explosion had been heard throughout the city. A ball of light, or a luminous object, had been seen to fall from the sky or from a torpedo-shaped thing, or construction, in the sky. No one had seen this thing that had exploded fall from a larger body that was in the sky, but if we accept that at the same time there was a larger body in the sky. My own acceptance is that a dirigible in the sky, or a construction that showed every sign of disrupting, had barely time to drop whatever it did drop and to speed away to safety above. The following story is told, in the Review, by Bishop John S. Michaud. I was standing on the corner of Church and College Streets, just in front of the Howard Bank, and facing east, engaged in conversation with ex-Governor Woodbury and Mr. A. A. Buell, when, without the slightest indication, or warning, we were startled by what sounded like a most unusual and terrific explosion, evidently very nearby. Raising my eyes, and looking eastward along College Street, I observed a torpedo-shaped body, some 300 feet away, stationary in appearance, and suspended in the air, about 50 feet above the tops of the buildings. In size it was about 6 feet long by 8 inches in diameter, the shell, or covering, having a dark appearance, with here and there tongues of fire issuing from spots on the surface, resembling red-hot, unburnished copper. Although stationary when first noticed, this object soon began to move, rather slowly, and disappeared over Dolan Brothers' store, southward. As it moved, the covering seemed rupturing in places, and through these the intensely red flames issued. Bishop Michaud attempts to correlate it with meteorological observations. Because of the nearby view, this is perhaps the most remarkable of the new correlates, but the correlate now coming is extraordinary because of the great number of recorded observations upon it. My own acceptance is that, upon November 17, 1882, a vast dirigible crossed England, but by the definiteness and indefiniteness of all things quasi-real, some observations upon it can be correlated with anything one pleases. E. W. Maunder, invited by the editors of the observatory to write some reminiscences for the 500th number of their magazine, gives one that he says stands out, Observatory, 39-214. It is upon something that he terms a strange celestial visitor. Maunder was at the Royal Observatory, Greenwich, November 17, 1882, at night. There was an aurora, without features of special interest. In the midst of the aurora, a great circular disk of greenish light appeared and moved smoothly across the sky. But the circularity was evidently the effect of foreshortening. The thing passed above the moon, and was, by other observers, described as cigar-shaped, like a torpedo, a spindle, a shuttle. The idea of foreshortening is not mine, Maunder says this. He says, had the incident occurred a third of a century later, beyond doubt everyone would have selected the same simile. It would have been just like a zeppelin. The duration was about 2 minutes. Color said to have been the same as that of the auroral glow in the north. Nevertheless, Maunder says that this thing had no relation to auroral phenomena. It appeared to be a definite body. Motion too fast for a cloud, but nothing could be more unlike the rush of a meteor. In the Philosophical Magazine, 5-15-318, J. Rand Capron, in a lengthy paper, alludes throughout to this phenomenon as an auroral beam, but he lists many observations upon its torpedo shape, and one observation upon a dark nucleus in it. Host of most confusing observations, estimates of height between 40 and 200 miles, observations in Holland and Belgium. We are told that according to Capron's spectroscopic observations, the phenomenon was nothing but a beam of auroral light. In the observatory, 6-192, is Maunder's contemporaneous account. He gives apparent approximate length and breadth at 27 degrees and 3 degrees and a half. He gives other observations seeming to indicate structure, remarkable dark marking down the center.